Okay, I'm so tempted with this microphone. I feel so official. I'm so tempted to, like, do my best Anson impersonation. Be like, what's up, Emmaus? What's up, family? A little more high-pitched than Anson. A little more high-pitched, sorry. And it doesn't come close. It makes me happy every Sunday. I've told the staff several different times that our family is happy sheep at Emmaus. It's a good place to be, right? It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be this weekend if you're a woman, right? And the few select men who get to have the insight into what we're doing here. It's pretty nerve-wracking to be the end, right? You're like, oh my Lord, don't let me say anything stupid. You got Robbie who like shucks it down with string and yarn and suitcases. I got nothing. I can maybe put on and off my glasses a couple of times. I don't know. Maybe you'll remember that. But anyway, it was so amazing to hear how the Lord graciously has woven all these different women together. And not just the women who've been up here on stage, but every woman who has put out donuts to the glory of Jesus this morning. Those scones, unbelievable, like changed my morning. Every woman, every guy behind the sound booth who graciously gives their times, those who made these tables look phenomenal. I mean, all of that, do you see how the Lord graciously gives us all good things, right? And he graciously weaves our stories together and our gifts so that when we use those, what's the end result? The glory of Jesus, right? I love how Dr. Robbie was talking about like level 64. I was like, I kind of like that. I think she could kind of like be like everybody's mama here, and I'm going to pretend I could just be your big sister. I probably could be some of your mamas, and that makes me a little freaked out too. But anyway, I am some people's mamas in this room. I do have 5 kiddos on the planet. My husband and I, Keith, have been married for 23 years. I birthed 6 kiddos, and so maybe we'll weave that pretty amazing story into all this kind of deal we're talking about today. I want to respect your time, and I want us to get out of here and make the change of going to the, you might go to a grocery store when you're finished here? Okay, go ahead and raise your hand. You can confess. Anybody already thinking about what has to happen after this? Like, okay, I got it. It's how we roll, right? When Heather first told me that we're getting this conference together and it was going to be called Woven, I was like, ooh, that's a cool word. And I immediately thought of some teaching I heard forever ago talking about that verse that says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And I heard a teaching one time that said that workmanship, that same thing is kind of like his tapestry, his weaving, right? So I immediately was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Well, then I love 2 resources, and hopefully you're going to learn about one in particular today. This, ladies, is life, okay? If you do nothing else, if I have no other influence on you whatsoever today, you cling to this book. Do not put it down. I'm going to keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. So if you got one on your phone, you got one in your lap, whatever it is, we're about to open it up. We're going to be in there for a while. So get ready. But the other resource I love is a dictionary. I know, I'm kind of a nerd. But what's so interesting about this is I wasn't always this way, but I was raised, I never knew this until I was much older, but I think I was raised quite formal, and I didn't really know that. I won't say I was raised a snob, because I don't want to have to admit that, but I was definitely raised more formal, and my dad was ridiculous about never allowing my brother and I to use just common verbiage. Annoying. We'd come home, we'd be like, Dad, you know, that's so ridiculous. I don't know what we would say, just goofy things. And he was like, what does that even mean? Go look up in the thesaurus a synonym for that word and give me something that means something. And this is back when you actually had to go look at the big honkin' Webster's dictionary, you know, it's like, boom, Like, you know, and you had to like know how to use a dictionary. Am I clicking? Am I doing something wrong? Is it my earring? I can take it off. Can I be a pirate? Okay, I'm just gonna be a pirate, look. Is that better? Ha. Dictionary. So anyway, it was so annoying, right? My dad would never let us just say stuff. But what it did is it developed in us this sense of really appreciating how to be able to articulate yourself. Now, it came back to bite him in the butt when we got older and we would have discussions about things and we could lay down a big word, right? He was like, oh, wow, you really do know. So what I did about woven is I went to the dictionary. And let me read you some definitions of woven. Number one, to interlace. Now, knowing what we know, hearing what we've heard all weekend, I just want you to think. Number one, to interlace threads, yarns, strips, fibrous material, so as to form a fabric or material. Two, to form by interlacing threads, yarns, strands, or strips of some material. Three, love this one, to form by combining various elements or details into a connected whole. Connected whole. Keep thinking on that one. To introduce as an element or detail into a connected whole. It's pretty amazing, right? So then the second resource I'm going to always go to is the word. I want to know, okay, where is that used in Scripture? So I get a concordance, usually the ESV search thing on my phone. I have other concordances, but that's so much quicker, right, than looking up in Big Strong's Concordance or something like that, old school. That word is used in several different forms. So I was like, ooh. So guess what the Lord did? In Jewish tradition of the Old Testament Torah, the rabbis would often say if you could link up passages of Scripture, it was like stringing pearls. Isn't that amazing? Like when you've been in the Word and like all of a sudden you're like, oh, that verse, that kind of reminds me of that verse. And wait a minute, wait. That guy just preached the other day. I heard a podcast about that verse, and that sounds a lot like that verse. That's like a supernatural thing of the Lord teaching us his word. And he's threading together, he's stringing together pearls that are, he's trying to teach us a truth about himself, correct? So today, here, I want to streamline this because are you on emotional and information overload yet? Almost, maybe 90%? Okay, I'm going to try to squeeze in 10% right here. Okay, and keep you from just losing it. But I have 2 points. I think we may have a screen for one of these. Number one, we were created by God in his image with a unique capability of glorifying Jesus, to glorify Jesus. So who created you? Oh, come on. Who created you? Okay, whose image are you made in? God. Sounds so primitive, right? This is what we're probably teaching over in kids' worship, which kids' worship here is amazing. This is what we're teaching, right? This is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about image and identity all weekend long. Yeah, why are we keeping talking about it? Because clearly we forget. So we got to keep on talking about it. So who created you? Whose image are you created in? You're going to go home and you're going to tell us to your kiddos, right? With a unique capability to do what? Glorify Jesus. Okay, I hit level 40-something, and when I hit 40, I don't know what happened to me. I've always been a little bit crazy. I've always been ridiculously passionate about the Word of God, but then like just some kind of like inner kind of like came out. Hormonal, we can blame it maybe on that. I don't know. But it was literally like the Lord began to sift everything I say, everything I think, everything I do, everything I want to do, everything I wear, everything I get myself involved in, everything I read, everything got filtered through this one phrase, and it about killed me. And the phrase is, to what end? If you've ever read anything about John Piper, he's really big on this. To what end? And it is a painful sifter, but it's a glorious one because you have to negotiate and you have to be really blatantly honest with yourselves about why you do everything. So I love this because God is also the beginning, right? He doesn't have a beginning, but he's our beginning, right? Genesis 1. But he's the Alpha. He's the beginning, right? But there is an end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, right? So everything is moving on a trajectory toward one thing, correct? And the one thing is the glory of Jesus. So what I'm telling you today, I want to just so hopefully passionately communicate this. You, my friend, and if we had time, I would love to go to coffee with each and every one of you, and I mean that sincerely. I'm a total relationship freak. Love to get to know women, love to hear their story, love to kind of pick up on their kind of nuances and their hand motions. I don't really get into that, you know, or anything. I just flail around. They shouldn't have ever given me this, because at least old school keeps one hand stationary. You only get the one. Now I got two flailing around. But anyway, if we could sit and just talk, you, no matter how young you are, how old you are, what kind of past, present, future you think you may have or had, you, my sweet friend, have a very God-given, unique capability to bring glory to Jesus that nobody else has. That's a sobering thought, right? But it's a glorious thought, because all the while, God, who created you? In whose image? For this unique person. So I looked up unique, you know, no, so I didn't want to be using some weird word that didn't. Anybody here go? Anybody ever use the word interesting to describe somebody that you're not really? Like, how what'd you think about her? She's interesting. AKA, I kind of thought she was weird. Unique, sometimes I think we can do it with that. I'm not saying that. Unique is an adjective that says being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else. Every cell in your body that makes up every skin tone, every hair color, every glimmer in your eye, every what imperfection even, everything that makes who you are inside and outside was graciously given to you by a glorious good God with the capacity or the capability of bringing him glory. I say capability because it doesn't mean that just because you're on this planet that you will automatically bring glory to God, right? We know that's true. So what changes the capability? What changes the capability is we yield ourselves willingly to this glorious God. Why? Because of what Heather said the first night. Jesus restates it in Matthew, but originally God told Moses to tell the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many? One. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Ever since the moment God first spoke anything into being, it was love. And that's what he wanted back. We love him because he first loved us, right? He wants our love. And so when we understand by being in this book, when we understand the depth and the height and the width of his love for us, displayed on that cross, the one we were looking at earlier, is a visual reminder. Jesus, love with skin, came to the actual earth, and he communicated that love to us and then died for us to continually remind us, I love you this much. He simply just wants us to go, I love you too. And then guess what? Every day is just an opportunity to go, I love you too. I love you too. Because he said it first, right? He's always the initiator. It's never us. We never initiate love with the Lord. It's just a response. Our whole life is just a glad response to a gracious God. Now, what happens on days when we don't feel glad? When things aren't going good, right? I love Catherine and Susan's stories, and I can't speak too much about them just because I'll get so emotional. I feel like I start getting in there with it. I'm just like, oh, my heart just hurts, so I can't do that just yet, but I'm there. It doesn't always feel good, ladies. We got to get over that. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith, right? But guess what? The faith isn't because we have faith. The faith isn't in our belief. The faith is in a person, a living person of Jesus Christ. How do we know that person so well? How do we become more and more acquainted with him? How do we every day go, I love you too? And how do we hear him on those days when life is just flat out terrible? And everything around us is traumatic. How do we even hear that he loves us? Because it doesn't feel like love. Is that resonating with anybody? Can we just be honest? It doesn't feel like love sometimes when your life's falling apart. Because we're in this. And this transcends. And this, guess what, has a whole bunch of people in here that weren't living great lives, but they knew they were loved. Most of these guys in here, they're and women, their lives were wrecked. And it was love that triumphed. Back to Deuteronomy. I want you guys to turn there for just a couple minutes. Deuteronomy 6, Old Testament. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fifth book of the Old Testament, book written by Moses. Deuteronomy, the whole book of Deuteronomy is God using Moses to kind of recount. It's like his last words before he leaves the planet. And so he's like giving it all. Like he's just like roaring over the people of Israel. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6 is exactly what I quoted just a few minutes, but I want to look at three key phrases and then we're going to slip one in that was in the Matthew context. We're supposed to love God with all or our whole, what's the first one? Heart. This Hebrew word means like the center or essence or source of everything. It's our seat of our affections. It's the root of everything for us. Right? So we're going to love God with all of our emotions. Guess what? I love the fact that God made us women and he made us emotional. I was sitting over here a minute ago and I got a different perspective from sitting back here where I had been before, but I love to watch women worship. Because we got people on their knees. We've got people like laid out. We've got people just quietly just listening and processing, right? We got the whole gamut. We respond emotionally. That's a good thing. We just want to use that to love God. So those moments we've had today, those moments you have, like, I don't know anybody else, but like, get me with the Bluetooth in the bathroom, getting ready. And I'm like, woo, acoustics in bathrooms rock. So you say, I sound like my daughter Sarah when I'm in the bathroom. That's why she's up here and I'm in the bathroom. So, but we use that. Use that. Don't ever miss an opportunity just to love on God with your whole heart, even if it's broken. Say, Lord, I'm loving you with the pieces of my heart today because it doesn't feel whole. But I'm giving them all to you and I'm saying I'm loving you with every piece. Because there's nowhere else to go, ladies. I'm just going to tell you. I love you enough to tell you. And I think Catherine could tell you. I think Susan could tell you. I think anybody in this room, Dr. Robbie would sure tell you. At the end of the day, nobody loves you like Jesus. And there is no comfort on this earth at the end of the day in a dark season like Jesus. How do I know that? Because I've been there. and he's the only one I had. And if we're not quick to begin to run to him and get it from him in this, you will flounder. And there are great friends, but the best friend is going to turn you to this. Best friend's going to text you something out of here, right? What's the next one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. Hebrew is this primitive word literally that means like your very like breath, like every breath. Lord, I just love you. I can barely breathe right now because I feel like I've just chased my kids all over the planet today and I'm so tired. At one point, told you we had six, my husband actually one day brought me home a referee shirt. It was awesome. He went to Dick's Sporting Goods and brought me home because I was so tired of being like, you go over here. You go over here. If you say that one more time, you know what I mean? The whole nine. That every breath, even on days where you can barely breathe. God, I love you because you love me. Guess what? Every breath is a testimony that he loves you because he gave you another one. So we breathe in. He loves me. Breathe out. I love you too. He loves me. You don't need a daisy. Like to pick off. Remember like old school? I've only seen it on movies. I never tried it. I don't think. Mine was the eight ball. Did y'all have that weird toy? Come on. No. Last, third, whole what? Whole heart, whole soul, whole strength. Okay, this one is really interesting. Hebrew is this word like ma'od. I wish I could speak Hebrew. Maybe one day in heaven we all get to speak it. I don't know. I would love to speak Hebrew. This one is where I want to camp out just for a few minutes because it means muchness. Okay, just for a second. I'm going to ask you to do something kind of goofy as if I haven't already made you feel weird already. I just want you to just flex. Come on, just flex with me for just a minute. Ladies, we are not wimps. Jesus is not looking for any more wimps. I'm tired of pretty little girly Christianity. Because guess what? That only lasts for girly little problems. I don't know about you, but I don't have little girly problems. I got big girl problems. And guess what? We got a big girl God that goes, girl, get your muchness together. I gave it to you. We are warriors. We are warriors, ladies. I saw the movie Wonder Woman. I don't know about that. I don't want to draw that analogy. But come on. We have got to just buck up in this. What is this in Ephesians? It's the sword of the... Half the time, it's literally like the five-minute devotions give you like a Swiss Army knife faith when you're going up against like a big, bad problem with a tank. You're like, don't bother me. Oh, my Lord. Come on. Pick up the sword, my friends. Pick up the sword. You got it on your phone. We live in a day and age where it's so accessible. We spent 4 years in China. Guess what? We were passing out Bibles left and right. They'd never seen a Bible. They never heard of a Bible. They never heard of Jesus. You hear about this stuff on the news. You hear about it on the radio. You read about it in the Voice of the Martyrs or something. I'm living proof. They were in our house, weren't they, Sarah? Never heard of it. We give them a Bible. Every week they bring it back. I have my Bible. They're still texting me, though 13 hours ahead, they're still texting me saying, I was reading in this. What does this mean? Girls, living in the land of promise over here, we're like, pick up the sword. Pick up the sword. Jesus came in grace and truth, right? We're coming at it. Last one is whole mind, which is mentioned not in this passage, but it's mentioned in a Matthew passage that Jesus quotes. we can't even get into that today. Everything in this mind is to glorify Jesus. Okay, we're going to keep on because we're halfway. Oh, I'm good right now. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take a few minutes. I want you to turn to Psalm 45. This psalm has been haunting me since about 2015. Again, I mentioned a minute ago, we lived in China for 4 years. We went over there to do ministry and to work with an international school. It was life-altering for all of us in such a great way. There were days where it was extremely difficult, and I just wanted to get out of there, and I wondered, did anybody even care that we were not even on this side of the globe anymore? It was super lonely. It was hard to watch my kiddos be in a school where they were the only believers, pretty much, that were trying to live this thing out. I mean, it was just constant pressure. I'm a communicator, if you haven't figured this out. And Chinese is really hard. My kids have it every day at school. They're really good at it. I'm like, I can order any vegetable you need. I had to go to the market 2 days a week. I had to walk half a mile to the market, get my groceries in a cart, drag that bad boy back, meat every morning, delivered pork on plywood right off the truck. Man, I'm like looking at it. It's not wrapped in cellophane. It's not like Publix there. But what it taught me was to cling even more to this right here. Sometimes we buffer ourselves so much, ladies, that we don't ever need this. I'm begging you, if you leave this conference, and I've actually asked the Lord for about a month now, that he would create in each one of you an insatiable hunger for him. Like a dissatisfied uncomfortableness, like, gosh, what's wrong? Just something doesn't seem right. Just something's not right. And then you would pick this up and you would let him speak and let him teach you. Psalm 45, I wish I could just read the whole thing over you in the spirit of Emmaus, but I'm not gonna really be able to do that today and be able to get everything else done we need to get done. So I'm gonna kind of give you a little bit of a layout and then we're gonna highlight some verses. I would encourage you, put a bookmark here, put a post-it note, something at your convenience, hopefully in the near future, read it. It's magnificent to find out if what I'm saying is true, okay? Don't take my word for it. It starts out with, this is so interesting. We had Miss Susan this morning was talking about the boiling water. Then Dr. Robbie was floored because she had already planned to talk about boiling water. Well, get this. The first verse of Psalm 45 says, "My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king." Well, that sounds really good, right? Who wouldn't want to say that during worship? Kind of has a cool rhyme to it. But the Hebrew word right there for overflow is boils over. Like it's so hot, it's like combustible and it just boils over. Thought that was really interesting. Nonetheless, there's this idea of the writer of this psalm has become so full up like a pressure cooker, he blows. And he blows with praises to the king. Guess where he goes where does he blow off? He blows to the king. Not gets on quick text. Oh my gosh! You'll never guess what happens. Not that that's wrong. I'm just saying, go to him first. He orchestrated it all. It's a one way to go right back to him and go, I love you too. I saw it. I love you too. Then I love this next part. Verse 2 says, "You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever." Interestingly enough, this psalm is one of those that has kind of like two ongoing teachings at the same time. One is very earthly, horizontal, like an actual wedding is happening. The other one is a little bit of a prophetic thing about what Revelation talks about one day. Our groom is coming, and we as the bride get to stand next to him. Okay, so think both of these. So immediately, Jesus has preeminence, correct, in all things. And so therefore, what happens? Immediately, the author goes, now, Who's been to a wedding? Come on, everybody. If you're the bride, do you want everybody oohing and aahing over the groom? Uh-uh. You're like, baby, it's me because I spent all the money on this dress. And you need to take note. Our oldest just got married in October. I can assure you, I wasn't even her own mom. I wasn't sitting there looking at my new son-in-law, who I do love, going, "Ooh, you look good. Love those new boots." No, I was looking at the girl coming down there. But what happens here in Scripture? You are the most handsome among the sons of men. And goes on and on and on. Then talks about he's mighty. He rides out in majesty, his throne, on and on and on and on, all about him until verse 10. "Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty since he is your Lord. Bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people." Okay? Like, okay, yeah, a daughter is going to leave her, the bride, yes, she's going to have to leave her home and go with the guy. 13, "All glorious is the princess in her chamber with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes, she is led to the king with her virgin companions following behind her." Okay, I want you to get this picture. We've referenced another royal term. It's princess, right? Because she hadn't made it to the end of the aisle yet. She's back here, right? She's all dressed, but she's the picture of her is she's in very, a lot of translations will say various colored robes. Living in China, going to an international church on Sunday and worshiping Jesus with women from the Philippines, Taiwan, South Africa, Uganda, Ethiopia, India, New Zealand, everywhere, Brazil, everywhere you can even think of. And I look over and I've got this sweet friend from Ethiopia that has her hair all amazingly wrapped up in that whole deal. Gorgeous. Then I got my other friend on this side, Smitha from India, and sometimes she would wear her whole Indian garb. Oh my word. It was like the women had come in their various colored robes. But did you catch this one little detail it says? It says that the robes interwoven with gold. So you got these various colored robes. Each of these robes has a little gold hint through it. Okay? So picture this. We've got that whole thing. Then we're headed toward the groom, right? Now if we jump back up to verses 8 and 9. You kind of have to pick up in there. 8 says, "Your robes," we're still talking about the groom at this point, "your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad." Get this one, verse 9. "Daughters of kings." Why are we called all the king's daughters? Why are we called king's daughters? Because we are daughters of the king, right? "Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor." Check this out. "At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir." So what has happened is our precious friends, all dressed in their robe, single whole body of Christ, all diverse, all beautiful in their own way, all with this gold thread of Jesus running right through them. As they walk, guess what happens? More and more gold. Because we're walking toward Jesus. More and more, to what end? For the glory of Jesus. So he, the whole time, is washing us in the water of the word. We're becoming more and more like him. We're becoming more and more pure and refined and going through all of that process. And by the time we get next to that groom and we stand at his right hand, we are in gold, ladies. And guess what? We're no longer a princess. We're a queen. There's a transformation that Jesus is doing in each one of us individually. It is a gorgeous thing to see the diversity that God himself has ordained, whether it be physical appearances, whether it be gifts, whatever that is. But there's this common thread of Jesus through us that unites us and binds us to one another, correct? Therefore, I want you to just sit for the fact and remember that when Jesus is weaving your story, it's not just he's weaving the good things. Catherine could tell you that. Susan could tell you that. Dr. Robbie would testify to that. I'm living proof. He weaves all of the stuff, good and bad, whether you were, I almost said happy or sad. that's a song. Look, I lost my train of thought because I just like went off on there. I was like, okay, let's get the music going. He's weaving our story. And there again, it's not like he picks all the pretty good things and weaves them to make something pretty. Oh, no, 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 no. He weaves the crappy things too. I confess to you that I have willingly rebelled against God's good heart for me. I have wickedly sinned against God's kindness that has brought me terrible consequences. I can also tell you that I have endured grievous loss in my life that I had nothing to do with. I have experienced unbelievable joy. But God in his grace has used every one of those to weave me into who I am standing right here. I am not perfect. I'm so far from it. But guess what? He loves me. Because guess what? He knew it all before he ever called me to himself. Isn't that crazy to think about? Like, he already knows it. I love to read, and I try to push myself to read things that make me think. I really like to be taught to think. I like to challenge myself to think bigger things and deeper things, not just for the purpose of that, but to understand better. And I recently read a book by Martin Luther King Jr. called Strength to Love. It's a compilation of some of his sermons. And I was like, wow. Whoa. Like, there's so many wows in the margin of this book. And there's post-it notes and everything else. But there is this quote, go figure, only the Lord. It says, almost anything that happens to us may be woven into the purposes of God. It may lengthen our cords of sympathy. It may break our self-centered pride. The cross, which was willed by wicked men, was woven by God into the tapestry of world redemption. It's not like the cross was some really cutesy thing. Instrument of torture, thank you. Worst punishment ever, right? So here's what I want to tell you. At the intersection of pain and promise, you will find your purpose. And we don't like it. At the intersection of pain and promise, you will find your purpose. Now, overall, our purpose is to glorify God. Understood. Emphatically, unchangeable. But I'm talking about in the context of your own individual life, if you want to go, how, Lord, how am I supposed to? You go to the place where your pain is the deepest and his promise runs straight through it, and you will every single time find ministry and like a passion that you never knew in order to equip you to help somebody else. But if you want to avoid it and you don't really like that whole painful thing, then you will continually dwell in the promises, and that's okay, but it just won't, like, ever connect. Anybody understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying this is fun. I told you I've been through extreme loss. In a really quick time, I can tell you, I've sinned willfully of my own rebellion, height of rebellion for me. My brother, 5 years younger than me, was killed automatically in a car accident at 17. Rocked my world. I was so angry at God because I was so far from God, I didn't even understand his heart at that point. I knew Jesus, but was not walking with him at that point, was rebelling against his call on my life. So that was a shock, plus graciously, between having really awesome parents and two primary spiritual mentors, literally began to, and everybody needs these kind of women in your life, he'll just go, that is not God's heart for you. They loved me enough to do that. That, girly, nope, not God's heart for you. The Lord drew me back. It took me a long time to get over being hurt by him because I was just flat out mad. How could you let that happen? Blah, 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 blah. In time, graciously, he kept saying, I don't owe you an explanation, but I love you and I have purposes for you. About a year and a half later, in walks this really amazingly handsome guy in my church in Nashville, and walked into class, and all the single ladies went, including me. Guess what? He put the ring on it. So his middle name just happened to be my brother's first name. God graciously redeemed that, right? We walk on, we start having babies and babies and babies. Actually, only two so far. Sarah Kate's 8 weeks old. When Keith and I got married, my mom had already been diagnosed with breast cancer, had recovered from that, was in remission. Sarah Kate's 8 weeks old. My mom's not feeling really great. Right after Sarah Kate was delivered, my mom was re-diagnosed that the breast cancer had come back in her lungs and her kidneys. She died when Sarah Kate was 8 weeks old. I wasn't angry, I just was really disappointed. Because everybody's supposed to have your mama, right? You need your mama. Everybody needs a mama. The Lord graciously over time rose up. I cannot even begin to tell you how many older women, including my mother-in-law who's here today, graciously poured into me and loved me well and are still doing it. And I may never have even asked for their help or needed them if my mom was still on the planet. We have more babies and more babies. Grandma came to live with us from Nashville here in Georgia. That was crazy. Had dementia. She passed away. Praise God, she knew Jesus. So it was a little bit of a breather after that. Life is great. Everything's good. September 1st of 2011, I went in to wake up my two. We had two girls, two big boys, two little boys. Go in to wake up my two big boys. Bottom bunk is Benjamin, who serves here. Top bunk, Isaac. Isaac doesn't wake up. Isaac had passed away in the middle of the night from complications of type 1 diabetes, 8 years old. World rocked. World flat out rocked. But I wasn't angry. I wasn't necessarily disappointed. I was just sad. Like a soul kind of sad, like a moan in the night kind of sad. And then all of a sudden I realized watching my own mom grieve my brother in such a godly way and cling to Jesus that even though my mom wasn't on the planet, guess what? Her example and testimony still kind of like kept me going. I get lost, but guess what? He has redeemed all of my own willful sin as well as all the consequences of other crazy things. And I stand here with you today pleading with you. You take a minute and a little bit and you relish the fact that he loves you. He just loves you. Not because. There's no because after it. He loves you. And then you whisper back to him, I love you too. And if you don't love him right now like you want to, then you say, I want to love you better. Just confess it to him. He already knows. You just say, I want to love you better. Help me to love you better. Second point. This is where it's going to get fun. Two, our deepest joy, if we got it, Our deepest joy as individuals comes as we exercise our uniqueness within the body of Christ alongside other brothers and sisters for the glory of Jesus. Okay, that's a long point, correct? But you know, I had to throw it all in there because I don't even feel like I want to do 2 points. Our deepest joy comes as we exercise our uniqueness within the body of Christ. You will not ever experience the full joy that God has for you as you walk out your calling unless you do it in partnership with those around you. I'll say it again. You will not ever experience the full joy of walking out your own story unless you do it in the context and next to the next person. God made us this way. This is why he calls us the body of believers, right? Community is a big word kind of thing. I think sometimes we say that, but community is like really like doing the thing with people. That's actually one of the things I miss about China. In China, we did everything together. We lived in apartments. We ate together. We shopped together. So if you had a fight with your husband or your kids were losing their mind, guess what? Everybody saw it. And that's terrifying to us who love our little neat suburban life, who keep everything in the box and make sure that everything, you know? And we just let out the crazy enough to make it seem like we're normal. We're good at that. But when you're literally doing everything with everybody, it gets a little ticky some days. There's not a whole lot of varnish, but there's joy because guess what? It's just authentic. You start realizing this is who God's making me, and ooh, that's not pleasing to him. I can't cover that up. So we have to learn to operate in that. You see this in this context, right? The princess back here in her various colored robes, all differentiated from each other, are very diverse. But the further she walks toward Jesus, the more unified she becomes, and she gets draped in gold. She's being purified the whole way. There's just something beautiful about walking together and serving together and doing life together. We need each other. You need the woman beside you, even if you don't know her. And she needs you. Older women need younger women. Younger women need older women. God made us that way to need each other. But it means we've got to embrace the fact that sometimes the weaving is interesting. And we're not quite ready. I don't know if I want to be woven over here to her. Like, whoo, especially if she's the one thing that Dr. Robbie had was like all over the place. You're like, whoa, I don't know. I don't know even where do we even link up and all that. So then your messes just mix up and then it's a real fun story. Ephesians 4, Paul talks about one body, one Lord, one Jesus, one Spirit, one church, right? But many different parts. I love the fact that one of the scriptures that I saw when I was looking for the word woven in scripture is actually used in Exodus, where God is giving in directions to Moses on how to build a tabernacle. And he says, don't tell me that Jesus doesn't care about every little thing. He cares about how many clasps go on the curtains, what they're made out of, the length, for crying out loud. I mean, on and on and on. The most interesting phrase he uses in that context is he says that the curtains are to be made in such a way that they look like a single whole. So lots of individuals, but we all come together and we are one whole because of Jesus. I need you, and I hate to tell you, you may need me in some capacity. Maybe a laugh, or I can't do a whole lot. I can teach you the Bible. That's about the stretch of my capabilities. One other verse I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to go through one other thing. You can write this one down to look at later and just think on. Oh, I forgot to tell you one other one. The other really interesting that we could do a whole nother talk on would be John 19:23. And it says, when they were casting lots for Jesus's stuff at the cross, that they went to try to tear his robe and they couldn't because it was made of one piece of fabric. They couldn't tear it apart. It was all one piece. I was like, oh God, that we could be a people of you. That when the enemy comes knocking at somebody's door right here, he doesn't just mess with her, he messes with all of us. Don't be messing with my friend. Mm-mm. He thought he was only attacking the one. He's really taking on the whole lot. And we got our swords. Sometimes you need this, again, to defend sweet friend who right now is doing everything she can to get the sword up off the ground. Maybe just for that season, you're feeling a little much more muchness and stronger, so you go ahead and pick it up and you just speak over her a word to defend her. Does that make sense? I know you're weary right now. I'm going to just speak this word over you. But we got to be connected. This has got to be living and active in us. That's why we immerse ourselves. When Christ, who is your life, we live and we breathe this word. It's our only way of knowing who he is. Last verse. This is the one I wanted y'all to write down. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts, it's a prayer that Paul's praying over the church in Colossus, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, get this, to what end? To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. That's the whole point. We're not getting, like Dr. Robbie said, we're not getting the vertical right just so we can say, I got the vertical right. To what end? That we bring glory, that we're effectively ministering to other people. That multiplies the glory that Jesus gets when I use my giftings, my pain, my struggles, my triumphs, my story intersects with other people's lives. I speak a word to them, they speak a word to me. That amplifies the glory that Jesus gets. That's why we're doing this. Not just so that we can say we went to a conference, we had a great time, we got a break from our kids. Though those may be good benefits. I want to speak one more thing over you, and then I'm going to ask you to do one thing. My sweet friends, you are more than the sum of your bad choices. Because Jesus chose you. You are more than the scars you bear, because he bore scars in his nail-pierced hands. You are more than all of your achievements, because Jesus is preeminent, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. You are more than your sins deserve, because Jesus came to be sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You are more than what you think about yourself, because Jesus laid down his life for you. You're more than what others think of you, because Jesus intercedes for you continually, calling you beloved. You were knit in your mama's womb, fashioned in the mind and the heart of God, bearing his image for his glory. You are his child, his daughter, his beloved, his servant, his friend, his warrior, his messenger, his witness, his disciple. You are his, and nothing can change that. Be strong, muchness, and courageous, my dear sister, for the Lord our God, the Almighty Elohim, set his love on you already, knowing all your stuff, and he still said, follow me. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into just a time, and I'm going to explain what we're going to do for that. Will you pray with me? Father, you are good. You are better than we can even imagine. the fact that I'm inhaling and exhaling right now, the fact that we're sitting here in an air-conditioned and then heated room, the fact that we're joined with other sisters who love you, who may even be wrestling this whole thing out, Lord, all of these are confirmations of your kindness and love toward us. And so, Lord, we just come tonight or this afternoon, and we just want to be able to say, we love you too. And if our love is weak, Lord, then I'm asking, would you just continually fan into flame, Lord, that? Would we be passionate about seeing you in your word? Father, Lord, I'm begging you that your word, Lord, would raise up a standard in the hearts and the lives of these ladies, Lord, that this wouldn't be just another girly conference where everything was cute and everything was gorgeous and pretty, and we go home back to the mess of our own lives and we have nothing to take with us. So Lord, I'm begging you that every woman in this room, Lord, would be drawn and be a new hunger for your word like never before, unquenchable. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you disrupt our minds, that you disrupt our thoughts, you disrupt everything about us and draw us to your word. Father, whether it's an audible on our way to work, whether it's stealing a few minutes away when the kids are napping, whatever it takes, Lord, make us warriors. Let us raise up the sword. Let us take this life seriously, Lord. The enemy is after us, and we remain powerless so often to take him on because we failed to pick up the sword that you gave us. So I'm begging you, Lord, would you stir that within these women? If they have been lax in that, Lord, I'm asking you, don't let any kind of shame or condemnation come over that or any of that kind of stuff, Lord, but could they just today just resolve, I want to love Jesus more. I want to know him better. And the only way he's given me to do that is through his word. And would you then raise that up in us? Would you cultivate us a heart and a mind to want to know you? Lord, our hearts are just flat out full. Our minds are kind of on overload right now. Our emotions can't really handle a whole lot more. So we're not after emotions right this second. We're just after, Lord, a moment of deep soul connection with the God of the universe. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can make that happen. So that's what I'm asking. I know it's your desire to show us Jesus. So would you do that? I know that it's you and you alone who teaches us the word. So would you do that? And then would you use other men and women in our lives, Lord, to speak the word into us? Would we begin to speak the word not only into ourselves, but into our children, into our husbands, into our friends, into others around us at work? Lord, would it just be common for us to speak the word? I thank you for these ladies. Lord, though I don't know them all yet, Lord, I look forward to the day where I look out and I know more and more of them and we can walk together, Lord. So when the enemy comes to kind of try to take on one of us, he ends up taking on all of us. And woe to him. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the women and men who've poured in it and over it with prayer. Lord, I thank you that I got the privilege of teaching your word with other women who love you. Lord, would you just bring us to a place of hunger and surrender? In Jesus' name, amen. I've done a lot of women's events, not necessarily led them, just participated in them. I don't know about you all, but you hit this place like right now and you're like, whew, I can't take anything else. I can't hear anything else. I'm done. And yet what we do is we automatically, we're like, okay, I got to get in the store. I wonder how the kids are. Is my house going to be completely trashed when I get home? Is my husband actually going to even talk to me tonight because he's like, so he's going to have to go watch a whole bunch of sports because he's got to get manly stuff going on again because he's had too much of the kids, whatever that looks like. So I always took the long way home after these things. Honestly. I was like, I can't flip that switch that quick. Like we've just been in this kind of bubble, which has been so sweet, bubble of like ministry and just like soul engaging, right? And then what? I got to go to Publix and push a cart and go, why does this even matter? Like, okay, macaroni and cheese for everybody, whatever. Just rotisserie chicken, sure. Oh, you want corn dogs or Hot Pockets? Absolutely. I asked Heather, could we build in a moment to be still? So that's all I'm asking you to do. I want you to be still. I want you just to get to reflect and process a little bit. I have internal and external processors in my kids. If you're an external processor, you'll have to talk to somebody on the way home. Polo them or something, you know? If you're an internal processor, you're going to love this. But I'm asking you, be still and know that He is God. If you want to get your journal and you just want to write down a few things that the Lord's stirring in you, something maybe you feel like you need to like do in response, then write it down so you don't forget. Because in just a few minutes, you're going to have to turn the switch and you're going to have to be whatever it is you were before you walked in the door. Okay? So I'm going to give you a time. We're going to be still. Enjoy that. Much love.